Yeah. Hey, how's this for a slogan? The Commando Elite. Anything else is just a toy.
Everything else is just a toy.
That's good, too.
Sure.
We're not toys. We're action figures. This is Film Sack. Oh, sure.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Film Sack. This is Film Sack, mining the very depths of film entertainment for all mankind. My name is Scott Johnson, the post-nerdtacular episode number 169, and I'm joined tonight by Brian Melted Head Barbie Dunaway.
Oh, I got two words for you, Alan. Friend zone. Pretty sure Joe the pervert driver prefers older boys like Britt. Also, your dad is a real jerk.
Yeah. He's permanent ass. That's what he does in movies.
Yeah.
Also with us, Randy, flaming tennis balls are a serious threat, Jordan.
Aloha, Brian. Brian, Scott. So the other day I was playing fireball tennis with my buddy, and the most amazing thought occurred to me. You know, if a bunch of toys ever attacked me with toy weapons, I could just use this here tennis racket to kick their asses because I'm a million times bigger and stronger than them. The end.
Yeah, that's your movie. You know what? You just hit the whole thing I hated. Let's get to Brian. Finally, Brian got $50. Ibbit.
That's right, he was in this.
Yes, he was.
Jay Moore, Dennis Leary, and David Cross all in one scene. If you could harness the snark in that studio for 1 hour, you could power David Spade for a year.
Oh, man.
Dude,
David Spade fuel.
And it was really just like 90s young comics, you know, like it was some sort of TV show.
Yeah.
The young comics right. from the 90s, they just all happened to be in this movie.
I want to say this
HBO
was...
HBO Presents.
Yeah. Wasn't this right around the time Jay Moore was... doing his SNL thing or getting close to it. I didn't look any of that up, but it was pretty close.
This was the height of his snark.
Right. The height of his snark. He's pretty snarky now. I listen to his podcast.
And other SNL alums on this movie, Phil Hartman.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Last film for Phil.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Last one.
Yeah.
Last thing he did. Right,
man, that's SNL's curse, man.
Mm-hmm. Is that what we're going to chalk that up to? I more like to blame his horrible, hideous, whatever was wrong with her wife that shot him in the face, which is ridiculous and terrible, but what a loss, man. Like, imagine if Phil Hartman had even allowed to just continue this life.
Right.
He'd be in his, I don't know, late 50s now. And
more than that, isn't he?
I don't know. I'm not sure. Not totally sure about how old he was when he died. I want to say he was like 42 or something. So maybe he'd be closer to 60. But anyway, an opportunity would have been there for a guy, an aging, funny, straight comic guy.
Phil Hartman would be 65 now.
Oh, my gosh, really? All right. Wow. I would have liked to have seen
him
reach
that. He died at
50.
He died at 50.
Wow. That sucks.
This actually came 3 years after Jay Moore left Saturday Night Live.
Oh.
So we can talk about that later as well.
Yeah, I guess we can. Thank you for the correction.
Jay Moore, it just doesn't seem to ever look right in a suit. He was doing some kind of zoot suit riot every time he was on stage.
Right.
Yeah. I didn't. Okay, so it's been forever since I've seen this movie, and when I had seen it, it was pieces, never the whole thing. I don't know why, but for whatever reason. And I don't remember any of these comics or any of these people or Dennis Leary or any of these guys being in this movie. To me, this was like Joe Dante, Gremlin style, where everybody in the cast are people I don't remember and know. And I see these guys pop on screen like, oh my gosh, this is like a cavalcade of recognizable actors and comedians now, which really weirded me out.
I think Dante really was like every actor wanted to be a voice actor at the time. And it's like Toy Story after Toy Story was like, oh, I want to be in anything that's animated, and I want to do my voice.
Yeah.
And I think it's just like riding on the end of that.
Well, there's some cool connections about that coming up. We'll get to that in a second. But before we do, Scott Fletcher, explain.
Small soldiers.
When missile technology is used to enhance toy action figures, the toys soon begin to take their battle programming too seriously. Starring Gregory Smith, seriously. Kirsten Dunst, Frank Langella, and Tommy Lee. I don't care.
Nicely said. By the way, a big we haven't had a chance to do this since that last episode, but a huge thanks to Scott Fletcher for saucing our meat, tenderizing our meat last week.
Yes.
He was great to have on hand, as always. Anyway, so it's Small Soldiers. We said when it came out, 98. Joe Dante, if you don't know him. Did I say a different name before? I might have. Anyway,
I don't think so. I think that's what you said. No,
I always think of Dante's Peak when I say
I always do, too. But no, it's Gremlins, of Gremlins fame.
Yeah, man. Gremlins guy. Yes. He was. And that's what he did.
My favorite movie of all time is The Burbs.
Oh, that's right. He directed The Burbs.
Yeah, I feel like I've heard the phrase, my favorite movie of all time is, from Brian Dunaway, and it be completed with other film names.
Really? No. I've heard him say, Burbs before.
That's The Burbs forever.
I don't think you've said favorite. I think you've said favorite comedy or favorite 80s comedy. Maybe you narrowed it down some. But
certainly his favorite Joe Dante film.
Absolutely. My favorite film this week.
Well, how do we feel about Gremlins as a... As part
I
of,
love Gremlins.
I thought Gremlins was all right, but I feel like I just watched Gremlins again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no kidding, huh?
Yeah.
Actually, and I'm of the probably the rare breed that really liked Gremlins 2 and thought that Gremlins and Gremlins 2, two very, very different movies, but I like them both for what they are. Gremlins 2 is a great parody.
Yeah. Plus, you get a free Frogurt, Brian. Frogurt. What were you going to say, Randy? You were...
No, it was me. And I've seen Gremlins so many times, I can't even count it. I used to make my sisters watch it, as they tell me. They say I made them watch it. I'm like, I didn't make you watch it.
Were you trying to freak him out? Because it was pretty scary at the time.
Yeah, I was 8 before my second sister was born. So,
oh, wow.
I was a good bit older.
So that movie's famous for helping push the MPAA to get a PG-13 rating in there, because as PG movies went, it was, you know, pretty violent. I always thought, whatever, it's puppets. Even when I was young, I knew that this was stupid and people should calm down, and it wasn't that big a deal. But, you know, it had gross out moments and stuff like this. I feel like Small Soldiers and the falling whatever that was. What's that sound?
The falling silverware.
The falling silverware. If you take those two things together, I feel like Small Soldiers is kind of awful, and I didn't like it really at all.
And well, I think podcasting from your kitchen is kind of awful, and I agree with you that this movie needs an EMP blast to the face.
Yeah, well said.
What does EMP stand for?
Electrical magnetic pulse.
Yes.
Electromagnetic pulse.
Electro. What I say? Electric.
I love when they do give you a little acronym of it, and then they tell you what it is. I'm like, why don't you just go ahead and just say it? Why don't you have to do that?
Well, the movie's trying to educate. It's about learning, Brian.
And every movie that mentions an electromagnetic pulse has to say, well, that's that thing like when a nuclear bomb goes off and it wipes out all the electronics. They did it in, you know, Ocean's 11. They did it in this. Mm-hmm. Anytime they say, you know, what we need is an EMP.
Right. You know, we need another trope device. Is what we need,
yeah we do.
Except in Battlestar Galactica, they're like, was that EMP? And they just go on to talking about number 6 of 3.
And I'm like, cool with that. I'm cool with that. I like when they just. I don't even if I don't know what an EMP is. I'm happy. Mm-hmm. I feel like I'm being respected more as a viewer to not make this when I have to learn that. I have other opportunities for that. The internet, school. You know, I don't need my entertainment to stop for a second and give me the more you know in the library bullshit. So in this particular case, fine, they don't need to say it. I'll tell you who else said it just recently. I just saw Pacific Rim, and I won't talk about that movie at all here except to say there was EMPs in that, and they had to explain it. So it continues
really,
to this day.
Even today?
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah. That's what I'm saying. They think we're dumb. It's like somebody in a writer's room went, you said EMP here. Yeah, you know, like it'll shut everything down. Yeah, but our viewers are dumb. So we're going to need to approach this as a teacher.
Also, EMP doesn't shut everything down.
No, it does not.
Somebody needs to go on that TV show Doomsday Preppers and let them know that electromagnetic pulses are temporary and localized.
Right. It's important also.
So what does it not shut down? I mean, is it just doesn't shut down things as far away as we've been led to believe, or does it?
And
are there certain things?
No, but I'm just talking about the physics. Like, people believe, like, oh, you could just build this device that would make an electromagnetic pulse and take down the entire planet. No, it would have to have a tremendous amount of energy just to do anything in your local area.
Right, you know? Plus it's just going to short stuff out. Like, there are TV experiences in the 80s, like, the Day After?
Right,
when,
right.
What's his name? The dad from Parenthood, the movie, not the TV show. What was his name? Not Ernest Borgnine. The other guy.
Rick Moranis?
No, the long face guy. He was in the movie we saw with the Coreys in it.
Oh, Jason Robards.
Jason Robards. So Jason Robards stuck in
Why
his...
Why the long face, Jason Robards?
So he's in his car. The bomb goes off like two cities over, and all the car engines shut down. Now, I understand cars are started and, you know, there's electric ignition and all that. I get that. But they shut down cars permanently in that movie. His watch stopped permanently. I get the idea of an EMP shorting things out.
Right,
but I don't think it's supposed to, like, you know...
Long term.
Well, yeah. Or you know, I'm trying to think of things that would survive that. Like, let's say an EMP went off in the room with us in it. Our computers would probably be hosed because there'd be damage.
Depends on how shielded the computer is.
All right. So
and that's what I'm getting at. Like, right. The idea that we don't insulate and shield things is paramount for this trope to work.
The worst thing is there is a smart, like, physicist or somebody out there knows this who's listening.
Oh, yeah. They're just
screaming.
I just went to EMP Miss, and there's all kinds of stuff.
Yeah. Well, if you go on, that sounds like a fun topic for probably a different show, but I still like the idea of it. Anyway, it's Small Soldiers, directed by Joe Dante, written by Gavin Scott, Adam Rifkin, and two other dudes. Stars David Cross, Jay Moore, Gregory Smith. Jay Moore getting second billing in this movie, which is crazy.
Yeah, because he's really not. Yes, but I'm saying, like, in the film itself, he doesn't deserve that at all.
It doesn't feel like it's that big of a role. In fact,
but what are you going to do? Give it to the kid? Come on now.
Well,
yes. I think Gregory Smith and Kirsten Dunst by far have the most screen time. And of course, Frank Langella and Tommy Lee Jones are the voices that you hear all the time.
Mm-hmm. And you got go ahead.
And that's they're the ones who got the awards, right? Didn't they get like Young Artist Awards and that kind of stuff?
The kid did, yeah.
Gregory Smith and Kirsten Dunst.
Yeah, those stupid awards that no one cares about. Those, yep, they got those.
The Nickelodeon Awards, you know what I'm talking about.
The
Bill Smith.
George Kennedy, Clint Walker, Ernest Borgnine, and Jim Brown were all reunited to play the voices of the soldiers some 31 years after they appeared together as soldiers in the classic World War II movie, The Dirty Dozen.
Right. My favorite war.
Yeah, that's a great, great, great war.
That is really, really awesome.
That is kind of cool to bring them together, although, you know, too bad that I don't. Look, there are people on Twitter who are already, the minute we said, hey, we're doing Toy Soldiers, the vast majority are like, my favorite movie as a kid. I can't wait for you guys to cover it. And I'm thinking, you're going to be so sad, at least when you hear what I think, because there's something sadistic and sad about this movie.
I think you're going to be all right, what I have to say, because I'm not a hater. There are certainly things about this movie that I'm not a big fan of. But I'll tell you the thing I didn't like is I didn't like all the classic rock and roll that never did get to go to its fullest potential, because there was a lot of great little snippets of great rock.
Running.
I didn't like the whole. Oh, I'm a 15-year-old in the early 90s. I love Led Zeppelin. Like,
yeah, listening to Rush in her bedroom and stuff, because she was cool, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. But you could see kids being all hipstery about that back then. They don't do it now. What do they get hipstery about now? I think, like,
they're saying I was 15 in 1991, and I listened to stuff like that, and she didn't.
Yeah. She didn't. There's no way Kirsten Dunst listened.
She
to that.
Didn't.
She didn't look as snaggletoothy as she does now.
She was in the process of cultivating the
the extra teeth
that would inhabit her face.
Oh, you know what? I keep saying 91 because I'm thinking of Toy Soldiers. This is 98.
Yeah, 98. You would have been. I was going to say you.
This is even worse. 15.
You would have been.
Yeah, and
20-something.
That actually is a good point, because this surprised me that it was a 98 film. If you would have asked me prior to seeing this movie, and this was my first time seeing this movie, when this movie came out, I would have said mid-1980s, mid to late 1980s.
Yeah. Because it's that Dante business.
I thought I remembered it coming out then. Like, even if I hadn't watched it, and you said, oh, when did Small Soldiers come out? I said, I think, 1988, something like around there.
Yeah.
Go ahead, finish your thought.
No, he, what? Who?
Well, just the fact that it, you know, felt like it came out
Right.
Like it was that long ago. Yeah.
I think the technology is what made me – I actually thought it was later because I kept thinking, this had to be 2001 because I don't remember having Ergo keyboards.
They had those Microsoft keyboards everywhere.
Right. He was running Windows 98 and it was an Ergo keyboard. And
I felt like that was very well set. In fact, I felt that way about the cars, the motorcycle, the toys themselves. I felt like, man, that they're going a little cutting edge, but they didn't push it.
Well, the CGI that got used, I remember at the time there was a lot of talk about how it was this mix of practical animatronics when they were close-ups of the toys doing certain things. You could always tell the difference between when those things were herky-jerky and when they were actually smooth moving. But it was the first time they'd used that kind of CGI in the world outside of things like Jurassic Park to have that kind of articulation and stuff. It was supposed to be a big deal at the time.
It
looks fine. And all that stuff holds up fine. My problem is it's just devoid of joy. Like there's no joy in this movie. And I kind of get what they're going for. Story. So there's one part where they ruined it for me. The story is that, okay, so just a quick background in case you didn't see it. And if you haven't, you should. And I don't know why you're not. It's on Netflix. But anyway, they have this thing where this big, huge, giant military, basically, or company that does contracting for the military, makes these chips. Jay Moore and Tobias have to hurry up and make quick toys like in a month.
Love it.
So they
used to work for Heartland Toy Company, which sounds very wholesome.
Sure.
Now they work for Globotech.
So Globotech, they have these chips. They're like super AI chips. They're missile guidance systems or whatever. They end up using these in the toys. Jump ahead a little bit. The idea is that these toys are basically self-aware, and they're very purposeful. The army guys are out to kill the Gorgonites, and the Gorgonites are, turns out, kind of dumb or kind of almost Native American. And this is where this thing breaks down.
Vegans.
Yeah, they're like vegans. Nice job. So the vegans, or the Gorgonites, rather, are kind of, you know, the main one. Archer, is it? He's
Archer.
Yeah, played by Frank Langella, played by Nixon, is pretty chill, and he's like, oh, why is this? And very, you know, very Indian chiefish kind of Torin kind of guy. And the rest of them are just kind of dumb and weird. But the point is that they're kind of they're trying to force feed us a message of this big military complex is destroying, you know, innocent native things.
Right.
And that's the overall message here. The problem I have with that is none of that is any fun. Like, it's all really, really kind of just the sadistic and mean, and there's no joy in it. Gremlins had joy in it because there was something about, let's get back to Gizmo before this all went bad. This doesn't have our Gizmo. This just has, these toys are shitty. And those, you know, Tobias and Jay Morse kind of suck. We don't really love them, and we really, really don't like Dennis Leary. And the parents are idiots. And well, I like him as an actor, but his character's not likable.
You're not supposed to like, right?
So, but I like him anyway. I don't know why.
Well, I love him. The best thing you'll ever see him do, I think, is still The Ref. Do you guys ever see The Ref?
Oh yeah.
I love The Ref. That's the one where he is so funny. Yeah, where he breaks into people's house and he has to. Is that Kevin Spacey that he has to deal with?
Yeah, Kevin Spacey
and his wife are fighting, and he breaks into the house. And
Annette Bening, I want to say, was it? I think it was Annette Bening.
Annette Bening.
You sure? Something like that.
It's like it was.
Pretty sure.
Someone like that. But
not.
Someone like that, but yeah.
Look that up. But they he's great in that. And there's a scene in that movie where he walks into it's Christmas time, and they're breaking and entering into this house. And they walk in there, and in the entryway of the hallway where the door is, there's a nativity scene there. So there's like all the shepherds and the stuff going on, right? And
it's made
out of chocolate, all of it in there. So Dennis Leary walks in, they're being real quiet, they got guns and flashlights. He takes the Jesus out of the little basket and he takes a bite.
Jesus has the basket.
He takes a bite out of it and just goes, Jesus, like it's the worst thing ever.
Right.
It is the funny. I don't know what it is about that scene, dude. I laugh every time. It's the kind of thing that would make my mother-in-law blush. It's fantastic.
It was Judy Davis.
Davis. Okay, she's very Annette Bening-ish.
Don't look at her current picture.
you just kind of outlined why every year I have to watch Bad Santa. There's something about that kind of comedy that always gets me.
Me too. Although sad to say, I've never seen Bad Santa. Don't worry,
don't be sad. Trust me, you don't need that movie in your life.
I don't know. Like, we talk about movies I've never seen. It's usually not because I've avoided them. I just, for whatever reason, that one slipped through the cracks and I didn't see it. All right. Point is, back to this. What was the point? I don't remember. Oh, I know what I was going to say.
No joy. And
yeah, where's the joy in this? There's no, because like Randy illustrated early, there was never any real threat. The people just were stupid.
Mm-hmm. Right, but that's kind
of no plastic toys. Oh, okay. So they've got nails and staple guns and things like that. But
yeah, I can deal with one psycho zombie Barbie, but six of them? Forget it. Ah.
There's a trope called Gone Horribly Right.
Explain.
It's where you know Gone Horribly Wrong is obvious, right?
Right.
And so you would think the opposite of Gone Horribly Wrong would be a good thing, but no. With the Gone Horribly Right trope, you were trying to do something and it went so well that you can't deal with it anymore. It's too good, right?
Right.
So in this case, they put artificial intelligence into toys, right? And somehow the toys become more dangerous than full-sized human soldiers.
Wow.
I don't know. I mean, let's face it. Okay, let's look at their competition.
Okay.
They're fighting against two kids.
Yeah. Right? Well, and the Gorgonites,
And the Gorgonites, right, and Phil Hartman. I mean, come on. We're not really talking about other soldiers they're going up against here. Yeah, we're talking about, street people.
We're going against suburbanites.
Yeah,
right, suburbanites. Right, exactly.
Yeah, the dad. So you got him, you got the dad from Transformers. You know what you're up against there.
Right. Mm-hmm. So I think I felt a lot of Gremlins in this, and I remember watching Gremlins 2, and the first one, not Gremlins, Gremlins as well. I remember watching it back in the day and thinking, I could take a Gremlin. Big deal.
Yeah.
Big deal. What's he doing? riding down the aisle on a remember when Spike was chasing him in the sports store?
I forgot his name was Spike. Yeah.
Remember that?
I forgot they went all like 12 Snow White and the Seven Dwarves on us.
Right, right. They totally did. But you remember he was like they were in the sporting goods store and it was just stupid stuff. He was chasing him with like an electric chainsaw. Mm-hmm. I mean, stuff that you could easily defeat.
A remote control car.
Right, you just got to suspend your disbelief there, and I think it didn't really bother me. That part didn't bother me at all.
Well, I just wasn't having any fun. Like it would happen, and I remember feeling this way the first time, which is why I think I probably never finished it. But I'd sit there and I'd watch these things happen and go, well, this isn't fun. Like this isn't Gremlins fun. This isn't. I'm trying to think of other examples. Ghostbusters, I think, is.
It was nothing that was fun in Gremlins.
No, well, but you can put Ghostbusters is in this category of film.
Right.
I'm trying to think of others, and I can't right now. I know there are others. Jumanji is a more modern take on a similar thing.
Right.
Like, there are movies in this genre. Heck, Jurassic Park is basically this movie. It's this idea that you have this innocent, otherwise innocent thing has run amok, or your brilliant idea has had a flaw you weren't thinking of, and oh, woe is us now because toys are everywhere and they're killing each other. It's not that uncommon of a thing, but every one of those other examples, except Ghostbusters 2.
So what you're saying is if there was a Jeff Goldblum in this.
Yeah, it's talking about a leaf and a drop
gun. Chaos.
Well, yeah, except that Lost World kind of sucked, and it sucked for similar reasons. The joy is sucked out of it. And I don't know what happens. I don't think it's intentional. This is just a thing that happens in movies. I think it's interesting to talk about, but movies have these – some movies, they'll come and you'll get to see the thing they're trying to do, and part of you knows what they meant to have happen. They meant to hit all the right notes and have a certain tone and feeling come back to you. And then, but it just doesn't work for whatever reason. Who knows? Timing, production things, or whatever. For whatever reason, it doesn't work. That's how this movie made me feel every step of the way. I was like, "That's a cool idea. Too bad it feels so stupid, or boring, or bereft of joy, or whatever."
Right, and I think that may be just a little bit of. I don't know if you remember this being a kid, but when I was a kid, I really loved these kind of. Weird horror stories that were like Tales from the Crypt kind of stuff.
Yeah, I was gonna say Tales from the Crypt did this stuff in spades, like
right.
Oh, so did Twilight Zone. This was a Twilight Zone story.
Yeah,
right, right.
Like the third part of the movie, the Twilight Zone movie with the kid and his weird house, and everyone had to stay happy all the time or they'd die or whatever.
Oh, that was that Opie. Who was in that? That was remember
was
that
Opie? It might have been.
It was Mumy. It was Billy Mumy from...
Yeah, I always get them too.
But in the new...
Lost in Space.
The old black and white 50s version, I think it was...
Right.
I forget. Somebody who went on to do something
Was it Ron Howard? Yeah,
it might have been.
Was.
It might have been.
Yeah.
But what you're describing, Brian, I love that stuff. I totally love that stuff. But why are those other things you just mentioned, all of them you just mentioned, there's something in them, there's an energy in them that is reminding you all of the time of kind of how farcical and crazy this is. That man, this is fun. Aren't you glad you're watching this? Because even though this is ridiculous, it's so much fun. That's not in this.
right.
And I don't know what it is. I can't even describe it. I don't know what that element is.
I think I actually think Phil Hartman is that. I think
not
he's
enough,
fun.
Though. He's barely in the thing.
I'll give you an example of where it could have been.
All right.
And that is with the Gwendy dolls.
Oh, yeah.
What? They were just burnt out and gross, and like their voices weren't even like fun.
Yeah.
And I don't understand. There was your chance for something really fun and kooky to happen in this film.
Right.
Right.
But
right.
No.
You got a bunch of soldiers. You got a bunch of dolls. Like,
yeah.
Could have been shenanigans going on.
Yeah. They could have lured them over. And
there was definitely a weird science kind of vibe there for a while when they were. Creating that there's so many there's so Dante's such a movie fan, there are so many homages in this movie, it's just insane.
Yeah, but it's okay. Here's what you do, or here's where part of the problem exists. The movie, I think there's a reason the movie was argued over on the MPAA a long time about PG or PG-13. They wanted PG,
right?
They got PG-13. I don't think because it was all that violent.
I think it's violence towards kids.
I think it just felt
problem.
I think it just felt wrong. I'm not saying it looked. I'm not saying by the numbers it was wrong or broke rules or went over lines or any of that. Right. I'm saying that there's something about the tone of it that feels sadistic and mean and joyless. That's what I'm saying. And so people, a room full of MPAA idiots who are sitting around going, "Oh, I don't know about this. How about 13? All right, I feel good about that." I think that's this kind of movie because there's nothing in it offensive. There's nothing in here that crosses any of those technical lines. But there's some emotional undercurrent that just feels like, ugh.
I think the fact that you're perversing toys to the point that it would scare kids. I think that was the main concern. This is 1998. We were still very.
But we were 4 years off of Toy Story, which is a very different vibe, right?
Right.
But
exactly.
Did they not sell these though? Like, put these in the stores. Like, we're gonna scare the crap out of kids with these toys that come to life and beat the crap out of them. By the way, available in a Toys R Us right down the street.
Right. Right.
Be interesting to see what those sales numbers were. You know,
I would have been totally interested. I really feel like they could have built the relationships between the Gorgonites and the Alan. I think they could have done a better job there. If things had been a little bit more buddy. In there, I think it would have been.
The other Gorgonites.
I don't know. Then you start going into that whole ET territory.
You have a sentient creature.
That's what I want.
Creature.
They did the.
You have a sentient being in your possession.
Yeah. Yeah.
And why don't you immediately call social services or something? I agree.
It is, some of that's really. This is one of those we talk about this trope all the time, but this is a movie that ignores the fact that there are other people living in society.
It
all narrows down to about 8 humans and a bunch of stuff going on that should set off about a billion alarms on a societal level, and they don't happen.
Right.
Yeah, the ultimate, the final battle, and really, let's face it, this whole movie is a bunch of hand-waving to get you to an amazing battle between toy soldiers and people.
Right.
That's what the movie's for.
Which I thought was the most boring part of the movie.
I did,
honestly.
Too.
I did too. Me too.
Yep. And that sucks. That sucks. Because that's supposed to be your big thing, but what is it instead? Right. It's like, oh, they're flaming tennis balls. Probably you could put those out. Or,
exactly,
you probably don't need to hide behind things, and staplers really aren't going to hurt you that much. Like, it's never really felt threatening. But in the meantime, I'm actually kind of buying the disposition of the soldiers who are just mean-spirited and bloodthirsty. Mm-hmm. And I can't get behind any of them. At the very least, make Chip Hazard a little bit more relatable. If you're going to have Archer be the intelligent Gorgonite and the rest of them are total dipshits... Then why not have Chip Hazard have a piece of him that sees that this is going terribly wrong and we made an error here? Instead, he's just straight ahead, don't look back. We kill everything in our way. We're terrible, and there's no joy in any of that. So then, when you have your big final battle, and it feels just kind of innocuous and pointless. Like, I was really
I don't know. It's hard to say because there was so much. I remember this movie when it came out of the theater. Yeah. And I mean, it was when it first came out, it looked very much like Toy Story. It was like, well, okay, this is just going to be a live action, kind of more serious Toy Story.
Toys come to life, right?
Toys come to life. And really, I mean, it was, I remember seeing it at a time going, wow, these graphics are phenomenal. They're knocking out of the park. And that's what I wanted to go see it for.
Yeah.
And when I got there, it was a lot more violent than I thought it was going to be. And it's that 12-year-old mentality again, where you've got to go, okay, it's sure is you could just say it's ridiculous that toys are attacking you, but that's the kind of stuff you think about when you're 12. It's like, oh, toys could be outside attacking me right now. What would I do? Yeah. Well, if they're lobbing fireballs at me, I got to lob them back. How? I got to get me a tennis racket. You know,
in Gremlins, it was like, oh, they're blowing each other up in microwaves. That's gross, but there's something kind of playfully silly about it.
Well, you know, they chopped up, was it Chip that they chopped up in the garbage disposal?
No, it was the
blender.
What was his name? Blender. He says his batteries.
Spider now.
Not Spike.
His batteries may be dead, but his memory will live on, whatever his name was.
Right.
You're talking about this one. I thought you were still talking about Gremlins.
Well, either way, it's like, yeah, same movie. Thing,
right? Replace Gremlin with garbage, blender with garbage disposal.
Right.
Replace
same thing, microwave with
hockey stick with, yeah.
Whatever other thing of torture you got. So go ahead.
Oh, was there any repercussions? Like, did the military have any issue with this representation that they're just a bunch of bloodthirsty killing machines, basically?
I don't think with this movie, but there was a while that it just seemed like we were just bashing the military.
We still do it. It still happens. Yeah, we still do every it. Movie's like this. It's just that this one was like, this is a contractor, and nobody trusts military contractors.
Like if you're worried about what the military or the government thinks about this, you need to. I need you to watch Good Morning Vietnam, because God.
Or any Full Metal Jacket. Watch that again.
But I'm thinking that because this is targeted towards kids, it's a little bit more impressionable.
Good Morning Vietnam.
That's not targeted towards kids.
It's got the
genie from that Disney movie in it.
It's got Forrest Whitaker in it.
Here's the thing. It's not like, I just want to make this point really clear. I am not squashing people's childhood. I understand you see a thing. I think the Time Bandits is wonderful because it's something I saw when I was very young and I loved it. Randy saw it and thought, what's the big deal? So I understand that we have special things. We associate with things based on how old we were, when we went. I'm with my dad, or I'm with my mom, or my whole family's there, or whatever. You got these great vibes, and it's why Star Wars is great to us, and Phantom Menace sucks to us, and Phantom Menace is awesome to my now 13-year-old who saw it when he was really young. He loved it. Right. So I guess he wasn't even born yet. That thing came out. So I understand all of that, and I don't want to pee on anybody's parade here. I just really wish I could have walked away from this going, wow, that was a really fun, creative use of toys come to life, and it had a little bit of an edge or whatever. But I felt like they lost the thread of there needs to be some heart in this somewhere, and there was no heart anywhere. This 15-year-old kid just wanted to get with Snaggletooth, and that's it. She didn't know what she wanted.
It worked too.
The dad was the pissiest old grumpy piece of crap ever.
Wow, he just made me angry, man. I was just like, wow, you're such a ass dad.
Yeah. Well, okay. Trope alert. Adults are so stupid, and this movie has it in spades. This movie, at least once every 15 minutes, an adult has to do something so stupid. And they even drag the trope out to, you go tell the adults what's going on, they don't believe you. The second time you go tell the adults what's going on, they get mad at you. You are such an idiot, kid. What pot are you taking?
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, that's what she did. She asked that directly. Mm-hmm. It was that. Right. What are you? Are you the crystal? Yeah, on the crank, on the crystal meth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. And there are too many to mention. There's that. There's dad with trust issues. There's the white man sucks thing, which is great. It's always good.
The whole movie is set up by the idea that adults are so stupid they would put military AI and a freaking toy. But
that's right. There's not a smart adult in this thing.
No.
Well, there's Leary playing the chick. He's awesome.
The adults don't cotton on to what's going on until it is killing them in the face with flaming tennis balls.
Right, finally.
And that's when they finally get it.
Yeah, it's finally starting to sink in.
Then they lose their minds.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Then it's all over. Awesome. Well, here's the fundamental problem. Is they with this AI thing? Is they somehow made these things more sentient by rushing them to market,
right?
Mm-hmm. Which means way more time.
Well, it didn't go through QA.
Like, well, this is my problem. Like, in the real world, I mean, this is just the technology nerd in all of us kind of has to cringe at this a little bit, because rushing it doesn't mean better AI; it means shittier product on the whole, including the AI.
Right, worse AI every time.
Taking your time would have meant better AI, and in this case, superhuman AI.
It's pretty bad AI, though, man. I mean, It was pretty bad.
But yeah, but I mean, the idea that Jay Moore walked into the upper office and said, "Yo, can I borrow some of those homing chips you use in your missiles?" And they just give him a box of them?
He didn't. He used the password Gizmo. Mm-hmm. Wait. Yeah. That's from that movie.
Gizmo.
By the way, a trope on that.
Oh, trope on this.
What is the make and model of the chip that is the big problem?
Yes.
The X-1000.
What?
Right.
Which might as well be the same, you know, miracle thing that happens in every. Oh, that's the X-1000.
Yeah,
they should have just said it was made of unobtainium.
Right.
I love that.
Right. It was kind of fun though to see what is the nature of your medical emergency walk out there and do his thing,
Ricardo.
Yeah, at the height of his Voyager time too, because Voyager was still in production, which is totally rad. I like him a lot, and honestly, he was great.
That dialogue between him and Tobias, I mean, was just
yep.
That was probably one of the highlights of the movie.
Yeah, it was great.
Other awesome thing is Mr. Witwicky.
He's good on Seinfeld episode once, by the way.
What's really his name?
I don't remember his name.
It's like the every movie that where just, a teenage kid saves the day, he's the dad.
Yeah.
Right.
It's in his contract.
Absolutely. So pissy too.
James,
man.
Jim, hold on.
Kevin Dunn.
That's it. Yeah. Yep.
He plays the part. He plays the part well because I'm always want to go. He just really brings it out in me, man. It's just like, oh, I hate you.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. He's pretty bad. This is
Ron Witwicky in the Transformers movie.
Yeah.
Right,
he's the dad.
Right, yeah.
And he's just Daddy LaBeouf. Same guy. In that
yeah. Movie. So can we talk about Trucker? Can we talk about Trucker Joe just for a minute?
Trucker Joe.
Oh my gosh.
Trucker Joe. Go.
Trucker the Joe, delivery okay. Guy? Yeah, the delivery guy. Yeah. Is that not the most, is he not just the most creepiest thing ever?
Dick Miller.
He's the shop owner in Gremlins.
Oh, yeah, he is. You know? He is.
He's the enabler.
I love the actor.
Wait, he's not the Chinese guy in Gremlins, is he?
No, I'm saying he fulfills the same role as the Chinese.
Oh, got it. I was like.
Well, okay, I guess I can let you have this, but.
Don't get it wet. Don't put batteries in it. Right. Wait, what?
Right, but he was in Gremlins.
I mean, that
actor was in Gremlins and Gremlins too.
Really?
Yeah. He was the drunk, wasn't he? He was the one that got.
No,
was he the dad that died in the chimney? Oh, I forget.
No. He was the he's like the neighborhood military buff. The neighborhood.
The guy in The Simpsons with one arm that has the gun.
Kind of. And then in the second in Gremlins 2, he shows up at the building where That's Billy insane. and Phoebe Cates work, and he's the tourist that brings out all of his military experience.
I love that it's Billy and Phoebe Cates, it's Tobias and Jay Moore.
Absolutely,
this is how we do it.
That was Dick Miller, right? That's his name.
Dick Miller.
Right. Still everything. Alive, 84 years old.
Sounds
today.
Like a job right? description.
Was in Star Trek. I don't know if we're going to talk about it later. Yeah.
A couple of Star Trek appearances.
Oh, a bunch of stuff. Right. Yeah. Right. We've got quite a few we'll get to here in a bit. All right. I was going to say something, and I can't remember now. I know. Why do all the military toys, why do they have to have the, like, you guys know the character Melina from the Mortal Kombat games with like the teeth, like the one Joker looking guy with all
the
teeth?
Right, crazy. Right.
What's the point of that? Like, I understand.
Creepiness.
Well, no, but if you're a kid and you're buying a toy, I know for the movie they had to be a-holes, but if you're buying a toy, I don't want that guy.
Well, no, and this wasn't, maybe 10 years after we were buying Garbage Pail Kids? I mean, come on.
But, you were buying Garbage Pail Kids.
I had three complete sets of Garbage Pail Kids.
Did you really?
And some of these things, like, I'm like, oh, Nick Nitro, okay. They start ripping his skin off his face, and I'm all, wow, I'm there. Give me that toy.
Give me that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, right.
Splitting his head in half, pulling the chip out.
That was a little gruesome.
A little bit.
For this movie.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what got the 13. I don't know. Again,
the deformed Barbie dolls. I mean, it's basically like the thing that lives under the bed in Toy Story with the spider legs, the erector set spider legs, and the bald baby head.
I always forget that first movie did have all those twisted toys. I forgot about that.
You can go on eBay right now and get yourself some small soldiers. You got Chip Hazard for $30. Mostly just Chip Hazard, and I see a few other Gorgonites, but that's about it.
Have Archer? Can you get Archer?
I see Brick Bazooka. I'm looking for Archer. He's in a collection.
I, I want the Kirsten Dunst action figure from this film, right? Only because I want it in the box. I want it in the box with her name over it, because her name is Christy Fimple.
Right.
And I just think, like, who's writing a movie and they're like, we're going to name half of these people something Abernathy, and we're going to name the other half something Fimple.
Yeah.
I want that, and I want a little Vespa scooter in there with her.
That'd be great. That'd be like her little mount. Yep.
Her accessory.
It'd be strapped down with those stupid the bread fasteners holding down your bike.
When you sell these, though, do you have the little figures regular size and then have the adults the same size?
Interesting.
Don't want that Kirsten Dunst doll says a lot about you, though.
Human toys need to be like 5 or 6 feet tall. Messed up.
We're not going down that road. So we talked about some of the voice actors. It's kind of interesting. The overall voice actor list is pretty interesting. Tommy Lee Jones, Frank Langella, they're the two chief ones, Chip Hazard and Archer. Ernest Borgnine plays Kip Killigan, or Killigan, get it? Killigan?
Killigan.
And as soon as I heard him, I went, got 50 bucks. I thought of Brian.
Who just got an invitation in Game Center?
I did. I got to meet this thing.
That was perfect timing.
It was, right. Ernest Borgnine, Kip Killigan.
That was amazing.
I thought you could only do 500 people. I still get those. Anyway, Jim Brown was Butch Meat Hook. Bruce Dern, which you've seen in movies on the show before. Link Static.
And his voice wasn't used very much, because I was kind of thrown back. I was like, hey, that's Bruce Dern.
Laura Dern's dad, right?
Right. Also The Burbs. You ever watch that?
Yeah, he's in that. That's right. He's the crazy next-door neighbor guy or something.
He is.
Yeah. George Kennedy. Bruce, go ahead.
Bruce Dern is your Utah connection.
Oh, is he? Why? How? What?
His grandfather was the governor of Utah.
Oh, really? Oh. Governor Dern? When that happened?
Governor George Henry Dern, yeah.
Wow.
Governor Dern.
Governor Dern.
Dern it.
That was his campaign slogan.
Yeah.
Dern it.
Old man Frank's running for office. let's see. Clint Walker was Nick Nitro. Christopher Guest played Slam Fist.
Christopher Guest in there?
Yep.
Oh, not just Christopher Guest. Keep going.
Michael McKean was Insaniac Frankenstein, or whatever that stupid comedic one was.
And then
Harry Shearer played Punch It. Yeah. So you had this another, you had your what do you call it, reunion? Your
Dirty Dozen reunion and your Spinal Tap reunion. All in one movie.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And they did call them they called them the Spinal Tap, didn't they?
Did they call him that in the movie?
Yeah, I think it was like part of the trivia, if I remember correctly. The Gorgonites, Harry Shearer, Christopher Guest, and Michael McKean are reunited in this movie after they played together a Spinal Tap reunion. And the soldiers are credited as the original Dirty Dozen, and the Gorgonites are credited as Spinal Tap.
In the show. In the credits,
like,
I mean.
In the credits or something?
Yep.
Huh. Oh, weird. I just called it a show. What the hell's wrong with me?
A show.
Sarah Michelle Gellar, TV's... Buffy.
Buffy the Vampire.
Buffy, yeah. Buffy. She's Gwendy Doll voice, and also a second Gwendy Doll voice, Christina Ricci, was in there.
Oh, yeah. No way.
And I went and looked up the voices right at the beginning of the film so that I could like listen for them. And boy, when you know it's Christina Ricci and Sarah Michelle Gellar, you can pick them out which is which.
Much simpler once you know, I guess. That movie, Big Moon Space Bum, or what was the thing called with Samuel L. Jackson?
Blue
Monkey.
Black Snake Space Moon? Bum. No, that was it. That's the name.
Black Snake Moan.
Oh, Black Snake Moan. Yes.
Oh, you weren't even close.
Blue Stick Bum or something.
Did you know that she now goes by the name Sarah Michelle Prinz?
Oh, Freddie Prinze Jr.
Does?
No. Sarah Michelle Gellar does. Isn't that because they met on the set of Scooby-Doo? I think.
On the Scooby-Doo?
On the Scooby-Doo.
Yep. I just like to get the names. I like to get the names straight for the women. And we give Snoop Lion his due. Now Sarah Michelle Prinze.
Wouldn't that whole Snoop Lion thing fake? Wouldn't that
Sarah Michelle Prinze Jr.?
She should be. You got to get Junior in there. Carl's Jr. Sarah Michelle Carl's Jr.
Isn't that part of his name? You take his name, you take his Junior.
Freddie Prinze Jr. is one of those guys that a lot of people think was just lame and was never any good in anything. I always thought he was all right.
I loved him.
I think he's fine.
What was that one with was it Seth Green where they were all she's all that or something?
Oh,
Can't Hardly Wait.
Wasn't he in the Screams? He was in the Screams movie right? Wasn't he in Scream or Scream 2 or no?
No, not Freddie Prinze Jr.
He was in the.
He was in I Know What You Did Last Summer movies.
Yeah, maybe that's something.
Oh, there you go.
And there's
how
the.
We get to, how did we get
Boy, we get from Freddy? Not have a good picture on his IMDb page.
No, he doesn't.
His Wikipedia page is hysterical. He's in the middle of saying something, wrinkling his forehead, and farting.
Like a TMZ photo.
Same time.
Nice. Yeah. I gotta look at it.
Gotta look up Freddie Prinze Jr. on Wikipedia.
What was the... Remember the game series space simulation thing? My brain's just gone dead where it's like Mass lion effect. People... No. Like lion people versus Mark Hamill. I can't remember the name of the game. Oh, my gosh.
Hold on, no. Let's just call it Lion People versus Mark Hamill. That's amazing.
What is wrong with me?
That was such a great court case, too.
What a good court case. The people versus...
Why did they call it that?
Lion People versus Mark Hamill.
That is so good.
What is wrong with me? Hold on. It's just right on the tip of my tongue, and I don't have time to look it up. But anyway, it was...
MacGyver, the guy,
Chris, what's his name? It's his series now. He's got a Kickstarter for, like, the biggest one ever, and Star Citizen, it's called. He's making a whole new, like... attempt at this kind of space sim game, and it was this huge thing, and there were lion people in it. Ugh, shite.
Star Siege.
No. Shite.
Wait.
Earlier than that. Right. Anyway.
Well, I was Googling that.
The movie version of that, Freddie Prinze Jr.'s in whatever the hell that's called.
Right.
Oh!
Mass Effect Paragon Lost.
I gotta find it now.
Looking through his stuff here.
Oh, that photo really is bad. Hold on. I'm going to skip down.
Wait till Mac.
Wing Commander. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, Wing Commander.
It's
right.
Wing Commander. What the hell is wrong with me?
See, I've always known it as Lion People versus Mark Hamill. So I never, like, there's like five Wing Commander games.
I didn't know what you were talking about.
Well, he's in, I mean, the cutscenes, Mark Hamill is famous for being in those for at least some of the later ones. But anyway. Freddie Prinze Jr. in that movie. Terrible.
Also in Wing Commander, Matthew Lillard. Also in Scooby-Doo, Matthew Lillard.
Also in SLC Punk, Matthew Lillard.
No, but I mean, it's interesting how all these people end up in the same crap.
Yeah. Well, it could have been Matthew Lillard Prinze Jr. if things had gone a slightly different way.
If only they had waited to get married until 2013.
Yeah, Scoob!
Did you know that back in 2007 they were actually writing a Small Soldiers 2?
Shut up.
True story.
Okay. I could have maybe liked that better, though. Like give someone else a chance to do it, you know?
Right. And this could be one of those things that's floating around Hollywood for years and then suddenly pops up.
Are there only – I mean, we've never really discussed this on the show, but I just want to ask the question. Are there do you have a list of movies where you think truly the sequel was better than the thing that came before it?
Oh, there's tons of them.
For me, it's Empire Strikes Back.
Oh, wow.
And then I run out of ideas.
That's all you got.
Well, name some. Like I know you, where you stand on Two Towers, and I am not of that opinion. I think Two Towers is the weakest of the three.
Yeah.
But I think the third one's better than the first one. So kind of, I guess that's sort of a sequel in a way. But I'm saying, like, second movie follow up. Name one.
Okay. Here we go.
Name it.
All right. Road Warrior.
Oh, shit. That's a good one, yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's right, a good one.
X-Men 2.
It's like a totally different movie.
X-Men 2 is good. Yep.
Aliens.
Mm-hmm. That's hard because I would actually put those on equal footing, but it's fair. I think it's fair because it is really good.
All right. I got so many more. Wrath of Khan.
Okay. Wrath of Khan. Oh, damn it. You're right. Okay.
Spider-Man 2.
Shoot. You're totally right on these.
Superman 2.
Wait a minute. Yes. What?
Plastic logo.
The Dark Knight.
Yes.
Oh, damn it. Okay, I give up.
The Godfather 2. This is why there's a rule. Terminator 2. There's a rule that the second film is always better.
Now I think it's the opposite, normally, isn't it?
That's a rule that doesn't hold up.
Right.
You know,
it's a bit of a shot in the dark, is all I would say.
Well, freaking with comic book movies, it's because you have to do the origin story in the first movie. Right. And then the second one, you don't have to waste any time with that stuff. Everybody knows where the guy came from. You can kind of focus on adding three extra villains.
Yeah.
And a lot of extra action, a lot more story.
So, Randy, props to you for coming up with such a good list so quickly.
I could keep going. Scream 2 is better than the first Scream for a few dollars more.
Cheaper by the dozen, $4. 2.
Yeah.
it's rarely the third film. The third film usually can't deal with the second film's success.
That's true. Uh-huh. Third films like, do struggle typically.
The only third film that comes to mind for me is Nightmare on Elm Street, the third film, Dream Warriors.
Mm, that is right. Dream Warriors.
Oh, that's really one I remember the best.
That's perhaps the best of all those. That's probably the best of all those movies.
Is that the one where he breaks his arms off when he's trying to do the bench press?
I would argue that Prisoner of Azkaban was better than the first two Harry Potter films.
Yeah, I agree.
But it was also a much better book because Rowling wrote two books in sort of the same pattern and then realized, oh, I have an epic here, and changed up everything and wrote this huge story. And so it was kind of destined to be better. But, man, I'm surprised you've never heard that the sequel is always
better. No, you're nailing it, but I could give you a list 5 miles longer of bad sequels.
No, you're absolutely right. When sequels are made only because the first one was successful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then you're in trouble. All right.
Die Hard with a Vengeance was better than Die Hard.
Ooh. It was. Ooh, I don't know about that.
We talked about this.
I don't think that one's better. I think that one's good. I don't think that one's better, though. I think the original Die Hard is better than all of them.
All right. And they're all arguable. Like, do you like Shrek or Shrek 2 more?
I like none of the Shreks at all. I hate
Shrek 1 kind of better.
Blend into one big movie. Yeah,
but I sure like Toy Story 1, 2, and 3. I liked all three of those.
Three was ass.
Oh, Brian. Are you saying you don't like Toy Story 3?
Toy Story 3 was horrible.
Are you kidding me? You really think that?
Wow.
That's shocking to me.
The most you want to talk about a joyless movie.
Whoa!
Joyless movie of the century.
What the hell is going on?
That is one of the greatest sequels ever made.
Terrible.
And easily the best. I hope they never do anything else because they ended it on such a perfect note. That thing is so... You are kidding me. You don't really feel
Toy
this way.
Toy Story 3 was... horrible.
I'm going to put something weird in your food next time I see you, and you're going to have the runs all night. I don't even know where to go from here.
It almost ruined the first two movies for me. True
what?
Story.
What?
That's crazy.
You are crazy.
True story.
This is the episode that will go down in infamy.
I came out of nowhere, too. This is not what I expected at all.
Brian Dunaway, you don't have a friend in me.
Here we are talking about sequels.
Yeah.
And part threes, and that's a good example of a part three. Like,
yeah, it's a really, wonderful movie.
Like X-Men.
Do you like the part where they all go off to die and they never get to see Andy again? Was that the best part?
No, that was the part where they didn't go off to die. They went off to live in a new place with a new kid, and that was the only... The kid's going to college. It's time to make the separation. It was bittersweet. I'll give you that.
It was not sweet at all.
Oh, no, no. See, this is what I loved about it. I have to get on the soapbox for 1 second about this. That was an opportunity to do something hard in movies that is not necessarily 100% agreeable by what people think should be done. Like a screenwriter has to fight for this. He had to fight, I believe, had to fight for this idea of we all grow up and at some point we move on from the things that made us children. And it's just part of life. It's a normal transition. And when it happens, it's a little heartbreaking. It's hard to deal with, but you have to do it. There's some bravery to that. And it doesn't mean that these things that mattered so much to you have to die or go away. You pass it on to somebody else. There's great sort of father to son kind of sensibility to that. Like, I love the way they handled that. Like,
Brian,
truly.
Brian, do you have heartstrings? No, I'm asking. I'm serious. Like, when you watch the first 5 minutes of the movie Up, does it, like, do you think...
Worst movie ever. Nice guy.
I love Up.
But I'm just asking, like, because I imagine that it, like, you could be pissed off. Like, this movie is just trying to make me cry. Screw this, you know?
Like, you're mad at it for trying to yank it out of you.
Right.
Or something.
Well, I think it's because it's like, okay, we've had... Toy Story is not a child in his toy story. It is a buddy story. It's all about Buzz and Woody, and it's not about...
It's not about people.
And so Toy Story 3 screwed that. It was no longer a buddy film. It was more like, okay, well, last time we saved Buzz, last time we saved Woody, we're going to go through this again, and now we're going to go totally off kilter and talk about, you know, death, death of toys.
Yeah, but they only made it – it wasn't about him either. It wasn't really about Andy the whole movie. It was about Andy growing up, and then it was about a buddy story again. And then it was at the very end, they bring Andy again. Oh, I don't know, man.
Two little buddy story in
there. But the whole time they were together and trying to escape that terrible freaking kid's place. And and what's his name? Was it not Kelsey Grammer?
John Goodman.
John Goodman.
You know what? They did it better
when it was called Toy
Not
Story.
Not John 2. Goodman. It was what's his name? Squeal Like a Pig. Ned Beatty was the big, was the the teddy bear. You're thinking
John
of
John Goodman was the teddy bear.
No. You're thinking of something else.
Until he just right now, I thought that Armand White was the only person in the world who hated Toy Story 3.
Who is Armand White?
The one reviewer. Remember the one reviewer who gave it a thumbs down?
Right.
And so it was 100. It was going to be 100% on Rotten Tomatoes forever, but then Armand White gave it a thumbs down, so it had to be 99%.
And Brian, I hate to break this to you, but this you got to remember now, one of the reasons people are super stoked about the new Star Wars film is not just the J.J. Abrams or that Disney's going to do better with the project or whatever. It's that the screenwriter and the guy who wrote Toy Story 3 is writing the next Star Wars movie. And that has me stoked. That must have you miserable if you didn't like what he did with Toy Story. You know?
We'll see. We'll see.
I just feel like hugging you and stuff.
All right.
It's going to be okay.
99%. Listen to
this. Why
don't
you guys get together and go watch some Minority Report and Toy Story 3 and have yourself a party.
I love it that you're putting those together. So look, I'm just Rotten Tomatoes, just a reminder to everybody. For the 80%. First time and the last time I've ever seen in my entire life, or have ever seen this before, 99% Rotten Tomatoes score. Total counted reviews, 257. 254 of those are fresh, 3 rotten. That is the most amazing. That's not even truly 99%. We need a period and a bunch more numbers after that to actually show how high that is.
Well, and those other two rotten reviews came after the Armand White like tragedy, and everybody on the internet lost their mind because he wrote this review where he called Toy Story 3 so besotted with brand names and product placement that it stops being about the innocent pleasures of imagination and celebrates consumerism.
I think he thinks that the toys in Toy Story were here before Toy Story.
Right.
You can buy a Woody or a Buzz.
Right.
Yeah. Here, look, they're showing that Woody doll again. Jeez. Yeah. Oh, there's the Buzz Lightyear. Thanks a lot for that product.
I know the Ken and the Barbie thing. I understand that that's maybe some, but the rest of it, those are all made up characters. They don't. Right. They're archetypes. Oh, he's an idiot. The point is,
you're right. Armand White exists to. Yeah. To get it wrong.
Yeah.
That's not my belief at all. It has nothing to do. I mean, if you want to do that, it's first and second one just as bad as the third one.
What?
There's no difference in that part. Consumerism.
I see what you're saying. Right. I thought you were saying you hated all the Toy Story movies.
Oh my God.
No, I love the first two.
I have a heart attack.
Dude, we're going to start this show.
Heart attack.
Toy Story.
I'm scrapping everything we recorded.
You know what? I'm almost wanting to hate Toy Story now just so, oh wow. There's so much hate that it could be you know, harvested.
Listen, I have a request.
Our new fourth film sec member, Nicole Spagnuolo.
Right, welcome, Nicole. It's good to have you. So here's what we're going to do. I'm just going to ask the Twitterverse people who listen to the show, you guys losing Twitter out there, at Mission Deep. I'm not saying berate Brian. I don't want you to do that. I just want you to ask. I want you to convince Brian that he's crazy. Can you do that?
Aww.
Okay, great. Because we love Brian. Listen, Brian's like a brother. But brothers in real life, we disagree.
Today on TMS... you talked about being able to come out and say, you know what, I didn't like something, and not have the whole geek universe come down on you.
I take it back. All of it, I take it back. I meant nothing this morning when I said that. I didn't know Brian hated Toy Story 3 this morning. Everything has changed.
And speaking of heartstrings, thanks a lot for the a cappella version of Ben Folds' The Luckiest. Thanks. I needed that.
Did you?
Somebody requested it. Whatever.
This is the funniest podcast on the internet day by day. I am weeping at my desk.
That's a sad song, man.
Oh, really? I've never listened to the lyrics on these.
It's about death and stuff.
Oh.
Yeah, I think so. Wasn't that the deal?
Congratulations on starting your new life together.
Hey, that one guy in the comments is already prepping his conversation on the comments about how we go off topic. And by the way, thank you everybody who backed us up on part of the fun of the show is that we go off topic. Thank you for that, because we're not going to change.
Right.
Don't go change.
Speaking of the movie itself, we have a chick in the bucket.
Oh, we do? And I don't have a sound effect for it? Hold on.
Bleep you!
All right, go ahead. There you go, chick in the bucket.
So the Gwendy dolls attack Kirsten Dunst's boyfriend.
Yeah.
Right?
Wait. How did you just pluralize her last name? Do it again.
Kirsten Dunst's Dunst's. That's impossible.
She
That's
has
impossible.
A terrible last name for saying possession. Dunst. Anyway, sorry. So, continue.
Right. So her cheerleader's boyfriend saves the cheerleader from the Gwendy dolls. Yeah, he brings it on.
Yeah.
Among the beasts and Dunst's grass.
Yeah. Yeah. And then he gets attacked by the commando elite, runs out of the house. And that's it. He spends the rest of the movie outside the house.
Yeah.
Because,
and
because
his leg's on fire, too, when he leaves. Yeah.
And his motorcycle's there later. Yeah. So he's just out there.
Yep.
The rest of the movie, he is in that bucket.
Chick in the bucket. Yep. That is the definition of chick in the bucket.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks, Will Smith. All right. Should we do some clips? Let's get to some clips. These will help me forget that Brian doesn't love the movie I love so much. Here is Tobias and Jay Moore hanging out.
Pretty exciting, huh?
I don't know. I think it's kind of sad. I mean, you know, Heartland Toys has a long tradition of bringing joy to kids, you know? Gilmars isn't going to care about any of that. He's just going to care about profits. I think it sucks.
Welcome to Earth, Erwin. You may not be familiar with our customs, but this is pretty much the way things work down here in the real world.
So I think Tobias is a way better actor now. I think he wasn't very...
Yeah, David Cross. Yeah, I think so, too. And I was watching that and thinking... Golly, is that really David Cross? I mean, there's no mustache, and he's not as good as David Cross. Sounds like David Cross.
It must be him. Well, it says in the credits that's him. I guess that's David Cross. I mean, this man show. What? Well, not man show. The show. What's it called?
David, and with the show with
the something show.
The show with somebody and David.
The show. The something show. Not the man. The man show keeps coming into my head, but that's not
it. It was him and Bob.
Mr.
Show with Bob and David. Yeah,
that was back right around that time, I would think, when the stuff was
earlier.
Was it?
Wasn't it?
I don't know.
Yeah, Mr. Show was like 5 years before this movie.
Mr. Show is great.
95, 96 was.
That was Odenkirk.
Bob Odenkirk and David Cross.
Yep. I didn't know that was Odenkirk. I like him too.
That's your Breaking Bad lawyer dude. Yeah.
Yep, he's great on there.
But man, every time you see David Cross, you're just like, you want him to go Blue Man, Never Nude. He is ruined for anything else.
That's true. Mm-hmm. He does pretty good voice work in like animated stuff, I think. The Kung Fu Panda movies were like that. By the way, that first Kung Fu Panda movie, good. Brian Dunaway, what'd you think of that
one? Suck.
Noodle folk. All right, moving on. Dennis Leary takes center stage.
Where's everybody else?
There is no longer any everybody else.
Mike, I'm Larry Benson. I wanted to tell you what an honor.
Cut the kiss ass, pal. 2 minutes after I leave this room, I won't remember your name.
This is Erwin Wayfair.
Great.
He's so good at being an ass.
Yeah.
He's great. He's a lovable ass.
By the way, second best David Cross character ever. I was just reminded of this. Do you guys remember a TV show called Just Shoot Me? Took place in a magazine.
Yeah, yes.
And David Cross played Slow Donnie, like the younger brother of the main character. And he was putting on the ruse for his whole life that he was mentally handicapped so that people would give him things and treat him well. And he gets into an argument with the main guy there about how the tubes work. You know, you send stuff from one room to another. He says, "Oh, no, it's magnets." "No, Donnie thinks vacuum."
Oh, you that know. Was David. I'm now remembering this, but I didn't Cross. Know that was David Cross.
And that and show also had Brian Ibbotts mention David Spade.
Oh. David Spade.
All right. Just Shoot Me. That's right. Now he's on that show that'll never end with Warburton. What's that thing called?
right,
married All the Time or something. Whatever it is. I can't think of names today at all. Some days are harder than others.
David Spade has a tremendous tattoo on his left arm.
Is it?
I do not understand how we don't see it more when he's on TV.
Is it large
TV.
Or is it just magical? No,
it's just
tremendous.
A big, full bicep tricep tattoo.
Oh, okay. So just a big, bold thing. All right. I thought you just meant the most beautiful tattoo.
What is it of? Like what?
Just
fat guy in a little coat.
It's a bunch of colors. It's like a landscape of some kind.
It's a fat guy in a little coat.
David Cross, I mean.
David Cross. Okay. He said on stage once that he hasn't had a solid poop since 1993.
That's not.
That's what he said. Said that on stage. He really did. I heard this in some stand-up at some point. All right, moving on.
Flatchew is a funny name.
That's Flatchew. He's part of the Belch Brigade.
I just like these names. They're great.
Flatchew.
Flatchew. Was Flatchew an actual character that they...
Flatulence.
Did they have one later that was called that, that fought? I don't think they did. I don't think Flatchew made an actual...
I think it was one of the rebranded Spinal Tap ones.
Oh.
I'm trying to remember if they showed him...
Educational toys, yeah.
I like Flatchew. Frank Langella now speaks.
Halt. Who goes there?
Greetings. I am Archer, emissary of the Gorgonites.
I would like to just state for the record, I think he actually lends some nice credibility to that character.
Yeah.
Like, he's he's the best voiced. Chip Hazard's just too mean for me. So Tommy Lee Jones, sorry, dude. But I'll go with Frank Langella. I need joy in my kids' movies. I realized that here's the thing. I like a character like Archer where I just know he's good and it's stereotyped as hell, but I don't care. I just like good. I like good characters. I don't like bad people in my movies.
Bad people make Scott angry.
That's right.
I don't want any villains.
I don't like bad guys.
Can you show me an action movie without any villains?
Can you sterilize everything I see? All right.
Were you like me and like from the minute you started interacting with these characters, you're like, man, I want some Gorgonites to play with so much.
A little bit. Archer. I play with Archer.
They're so.
That's about it.
But they're so Tauren and native and hippie. Like, I just, my only regret was that Archer was supposed to be an archer and he never shot arrows.
Yeah,
true.
Got it.
It was only, there was only two times in this movie that I was like, oh, come on. When they did the roll calls, they did a roll call for the soldier and they did the roll call for the Gorgonites. And I was like, oh, come on.
Yeah, let's pull out that roll call. Pull out that arrow. Let's do this. All right, something about no batteries.
Hey, you never have to replace the battery. Now, that's a good thing.
Now, dirty old man in the truck says something that's important here. I want to mention this. He says, no battery changing, that's a good thing. But then later, Chip Hazard says, his battery might be dead, but his memory lives on.
Oh.
Now, I would like to just state for the record.
This is not a contradiction.
Well, yeah, it is. Because the old man was basically saying, oh, these new toys don't need batteries because they got some kind of freaking little nuke inside or whatever that's keeping them running forever.
He's just saying it's got a very long life built-in battery that you can't change.
Mm. So like an iPhone. All right.
Right.
Fine.
Right.
Boy, they're way ahead of their time. Mm-hmm. How about, what's the matter with me? I don't know what this is. So here.
Oh, what is the matter with me?
Oh, that's Dad from Transformers. I'll tell you what's wrong. You take all the roles for dicks.
Oh, yeah.
But he does
it so well.
Stupid Dad. Oh, Stupid Dad number one? I'll audition for that, sure.
He hates
Toy Story 3.
He might. He's in a really funny episode of Seinfeld, like an early season one episode of Seinfeld. He's great on there. Here's Phil Hartman for you.
Hi, sweetie.
What's up?
I out here was just telling me that the angle of the Earth's tilt on its axis relative to the geocentric orbit of the transmission satellite restricts the placement for optimum reception. In other words, this tree is in the way.
So, I just want to mention again how terrible he was taken before his time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly. Well, he had his time. I mean, he was in his time, but... He's
a bright spot in this film for me. You know what I mean? Just his delivery, especially that first little bit. And what's weird is that character that we just heard right there, you don't really see that character again later on, right? Yeah. I mean, he turns into, gotta have the best gadgets and da-da-da-da. Yeah. He doesn't, he's not the kind of the condescending
like the
a-hole.
The neighbor who thinks he's being generous and nice, but really he's just bugging the hell out of you. Yeah, right. Phil Hartman, rest in peace. He's great.
So great.
By the way, there's a stinger at the very end of the credits paying tribute to him, by the way, like showing a line that he kind of flubs up and he says, was that over the top? And everybody laughs and then it
fades out. You can't see those on Netflix because freaking...
it tells you what the next thing you want to watch is.
Yeah, you have to remember to click over. If you're on the computer, you can. But yeah, that just sucks, dude. What, and then the other movie he made, I want to say just before this, was that Sergeant Bilko movie with Steve Martin. Do yourselves a favor. See that. It's not bad.
Mm-hmm.
That's not as stupid as it sounds. It's actually a pretty good little movie, and he's funny in it.
All right, nice.
We were talking a little bit about other Saturday Night Live alumni in here, and of course mentioned Phil Hartman and Jay Mohr. Sherry O'Terry makes a little appearance. Well, you've got an audio clip of that.
I didn't get her, but she's the one on the phone, the tech support.
Yes,
yeah, she was great. Yes. She's always funny. Great. She makes me laugh.
Yeah. Yeah,
which is a trope, by the way.
It is a trope that she makes the me whole, laugh. Or oh, no, you mean the whole tech
thing,
support.
The whole thing where you.
Ah, the old Sherry O'Terry trope, yes.
Yeah, trope, yeah.
Oh, she's so funny. What a trope. No, you're right. That tech support call where, yeah.
Yeah, like a kid finally gets somebody to listen to him, and they're not listening at all.
Yeah.
Not even a little bit.
Totally. Here's another one. Here's a nice Microsoft product placement for you. Here you go.
Alan, friend of Archer, defender of all Gorgonites, keeper of Encarta.
Keeper of Encarta? You were using my computer?
Because you saw your little freaking CD-ROM one speed with your Encarta disc in there?
Right. Mm-hmm. That was multimedia, baby. It was all about the multimedia.
I was having weird memories when that was up there.
Nice little product placement.
Yeah, it was all right. Encarta. It sounded cool for Archer to say.
Back, mm-hmm. For kids back before Wikipedia, there were encyclopedias, and it was a big deal. Like, having an encyclopedia on a CD...
Yep.
Oh my god!
And you were supposed to get rid of your books that were on the shelf. There were like stacks of these books that had everything in them. Like that was a crazy time. Very interesting little transition period, though. Stepping stone.
Everybody either had the Encarta Encyclopedia on a CD or the Compton Encyclopedia on a CD.
Mm. And do you remember about 5 years ago, Microsoft tried to make Encarta
Compton
happen? The Encarta.com was going to be like the huge Wikipedia fight, and it didn't really happen. That thing sucked. I think it's still there. Is it still up? Let's see real quick. Encarta.
I like the idea of the Compton Encyclopedia, you know, where Eazy-E comes out and kind of gives you a little description of
what's going on.
Where'd you learn about that? Oh, straight out of Compton.
Yeah, straight out of Compton. Eazy-E told me. Oh, boy. He's not the same guy. But anyway, Encarta.com is not resolving to its host, so I think it's gone.
Looks like Encyclopedia Britannica bought Compton's, and they're still publishing it on CD-ROM.
That's crazy. What the hell are they doing? How is that a business? All right.
How many is it come on? One?
I don't know.
Perfect clip for what you just said.
And how do you explain this?
There you go. See? How do you explain people still making encyclopedias and selling them? How do you explain this? I don't know what this is.
I don't believe it.
No, it's just more dad getting pissed. Mm-hmm. He was pissed a lot.
I think I just got my mind blown. I'm on Encyclopedia Britannica, and they have a entry on Encarta.
Is there a Wikipedia entry as well?
My God.
That would be really funny. Wow. It's eating itself. Information is eating itself. Here we go. Wilhelm scream. There was one, and I heard it, so I captured it. Here it is. What, you hear that at the end?
Yeah.
I thought there were a couple in this movie.
Might have been.
I heard one later on in the film, too.
Okay, figured it out. And Carta now resolves. I was spelling it wrong. It's two N's, E-N-N, Carta, and it's resolves to Bing.com. Oh. So there you go.
I think it's only supposed to be – that must be a mistake because it was only spelled with one end.
Yeah, but why would it go to Bing? It's got to be them.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm getting Lemon Party and I'm getting Meat Spin.
If you go to Microsoft and you search, the Encarta home takes you to the 2009 reference library for the UK.
Oh, weird. Here it is. 2009, 1 year. Oh, it got discontinued in 2008. I don't know what this says.
Yeah, 2009 in the UK, apparently.
That's too bad.
Or worldwide, October.
That's too bad. Weird. I feel bad. Microsoft, they quit stuff a lot. I don't know why they do that. Stick with it, guys. So does Google, for that matter, though. Whatever. All right. The game of... What is this? Oh, the
Thrones.
Game. The game of O, I like to call this. Now, it's not what some of you people out there think, okay? It's not the O word. It's the game of O's, and there's 12 seconds of it. Here you go.
Oh. What's O?
What?
No, what's O? You just said O.
No, I said O.
Oh, like, that's interesting, or oh, like, we're screwed?
No, I mean, you know, hey, whoa, oh.
I like that exchange. I thought it was all right.
Okay, all right, you do need to go look at the Microsoft, or the Encarta entry over on Wikipedia with two N's.
Okay.
Because it's written with by misspelling everything.
Are you kidding?
I'm not kidding. So, like, you know, the first thing is you probably misspelled a search term and got to this page instead. But then everything below that is like Histroy.
Oh my gosh.
Contents Adden Features and everything.
Did they do this every time you spell something wrong on Wikipedia?
I think this probably has to do with somebody saying, why is Encarta for Bing?
Are you on Wikipedia or are you on Wikipedia?
I'm on Wikipedia.
that's awesome, great.
Dude. Wow, that's a great little discovery.
With a T.
Nice.
Ah, that's fantastic.
All right. Tommy Lee Jones' most famous line in this film. Here you go. Whoops. Right here.
I didn't kill my wife. I don't care.
Remember that part?
That was such a great scene.
It really was. Yeah, that toy was. Wouldn't have it any.
Finally when the dad finally got fed up.
Yep, for sure. Please state the nature of your medical emergency. Or not play at all when I click you.
Imagine a microchip. Sophisticated enough to control the guidance systems of ballistic missiles. Imagine it can be used to instantly upgrade any system that it's plugged into, like a smart drug for machines. Then, imagine it can learn.
What are you talking about? Artificial intelligence?
No, actual intelligence.
Yeah, the doctor. Now, he flubbed his line early and they kept it in, so listen careful, just the top part.
Imagine a microchip, sophisticated enough to control...
Sophisticated enough. I love when those things get through and nobody takes another take. Yeah. I think that's awesome. All right. It's perfect. What? Oh.
It's perfect.
There you go.
It's perfect.
What that was about.
Oh, that's the wife seeing the video screen for Hartman's new TV.
Yeah, his hot 4x3 freaking standard definition thing,
right.
Rear projection thing he had.
The chroma is off.
Here's the chroma, dude. Yeah. Adjust the green. More J. Moore hit and then down.
Oh!
There you go. I like that.
Oh!
Quite the punch zone. All right, I thought of Brian Ibbett when this happened.
Yo, I'll tell you what I want, what I really, really want. Don't tell me what you want.
Because you're a fan.
He's a huge Spice Girls fan.
Dude, I love that song so much.
I'm an unapologetic Spice Girls fan.
Yeah. Here's your other Gremlins reference.
Well, what kind of moron would put military technology in toys?
Oh, that'd be Gizmo over here.
Ah, Gizmo. I get it. All right, then Scott Fletcher did some things.
I love the smell of polyurethane in the morning.
Is that actually in the movie? I don't remember that.
Yeah, that's when Tommy Lee Jones is flying in on the helicopter.
Ricky Lee Jones. It's his son trying to break into the dance club craze. He's trying to be the hot new thing.
That was the chick who put out Chucky's in Love. And
Ricky Lee Jones. And then finally.
I don't care.
All right. It's not, again, not the same movie,
nice.
But whatever.
I don't care.
All right. Well, there you go. That was a long clip section, but whatever. I'm having fun.
That was so good.
So there you go. It's time for these. Time for awards. We award this film with the following awards. Oh, gosh. Why can't I click over there? All right. And the awards are... Did I not put them in here? I did, didn't I? Yeah, I did. Here we go. The Most Pathetic Humans Ever Award. Easy win. No problem. Walked away with it. The Most Non-Existent Local Police Department Award Ever. And finally, the Why Does the Transformers Dad Only Get Crap Roles Like This Award. Ran away with that award. It was not even a competition. Star Trek connections are many. Wendy Schall, who played Marion Fimple. Was on Voyager. She played Charlene, the holographic wife of the Doctor's character Kenneth in real life. That was a good episode, by the way. Robert Picardo, Ralph the cleaning room technician, played the emergency medical hologram. Michael McKeon, Insaniac and Frankenstein, in this movie, played on Voyager, played the clown of the episode The Thaw. Also Lenny on Laverne and Shirley, we knew that already. It's not really a Star Trek connection. I don't know why it's in there.
Because it's interesting.
Kirsten Dunst. She was Christy Fimple. She played Hedril in the 7th season episode Dark Page from TNG. She was a little kid then. Jerry Goldsmith was the conductor here. He wrote all these musical scores for Star Trek stuff. We knew that already. Frank Langella. He was the voice of Archer. He played Jero Issa in the first three episodes of the 2nd season of DS9. He had a ribbed for her pleasure nose. Dick Miller. Which sounds like a job I'd want, by the way.
I don't think you do.
Maybe I don't. Joe is his name in the show, movie. In TNG, played news vendor in The Big Goodbye. Also in DS9, played Vin in the Past Tense Parts 1 and 2. And then finally, Alexander Courage. Great name. Orchestrator for the music. He wrote several scores for TOS, among them the main title theme. Do you guys know that? Wow. He made the whoosh sound.
I know because I had to go look for the
the
licensing for the album. Yeah,
very nice. That's kind of cool. And then finally, soundtrack grade. I'd give this an S for sufficient. I thought it was fine for what it was trying to be. It was maybe the only joyful part of the movie. That's it. Let's sum this thing up in 140 characters or less. We start with Randy. What do you got?
At Martika Tunes. Step by step. Heart to heart, left, right, left, we all smell brown. Wow. Like small soldiers.
Wow, geez.
There's a hashtag.
Hashtag meta.
Oh. This is the first at and hashtag you guys have inserted in one of these.
Wow.
Big day. Find out about Brian's hatred of Toy Story 3, and you put a hashtag in your thing. Let's then go to Brian Dunaway.
Small soldiers, part weird science, part Toy Story 1 and 2, not 3. Gremlins in being puked on by an encyclopedia Encarta full of popular culture terms.
Yeah.
That's this movie.
There you go. You summed
it
hashtag
up. Hashtag whatevs.
Finally, Brian Ibbett.
Small soldiers, Robin Williams toys meets Gremlins and poops out a Toy Story.
Oh.
Hashtag Brian Dunaway said it first.
All right. Well, here's what I learned while you underused Phil Hartman in his last film.
Yeah.
This is sadistic Toy Story. Number two, taking out a half dozen Barbie dolls should not be this hard. And finally, I thought Snaggletooth couldn't kiss a boy unless he was hanging upside down. And that's what I learned. Spider-Man reference.
Yes.
All right. Couple of quick emails. Got one from the angry German we have not heard from in a long time. Says, just for the record. Remember him? Oh, my gosh. He used to call something all the time.
It wasn't us. It was App Slappy. He was like the App Slappy.
That was it. Yep.
Are you going to read it in angry German?
No, I can't do it.
Come on.
Just for the record, Goldsmiths did not. Let's see. Not only did Star Trek 1 and 5, he also did the 8 and the 9. The Force is not strong with your Trek nerd. Greets. The angry German, he says at the end.
Oh, my God. Stop killing me, please. Please stop killing me.
All right. Brian asked for it. Let's see. Ruby, Michigan. Oh, I'm sorry. Dan Farr from Ruby, Michigan. Sorry. I got the town mixed up with the person.
A great name.
Hello there. Was thinking about Randy's comments about Jackie Chan and his long sleeve clothing. Back when he was young and spry, he had some amazing shirtless scenes. Talk about a physical specimen. Check out this clip from one of my favorite Jackie Chan movies ever. 1979's Fearless Hyena. Let's just take a quick listen because we can't really see it, but here you go. Training from Fearless Hyena, 79. Okay, there's some drinking, there's some guy. Dialogue.
Aside from revenge, you must eat.
Ooh, this is bad.
Wow.
His abs are awesome.
Okay, so let's skip ahead here. I just want to see his abs. Okay, now they're fighting over food. Oh, this looks bad. I don't ever want to see this. Oh, there he is, shirtless. Wow, dude. Holy. Okay, no one can see this but me, but... All right, he's pretty buff.
He sounds ripped.
He says about 3 minutes in, he's pulling some weighted bags around as part of the training sequence. Not sure if there's ever been a person in better shape than he is in this movie. Wish I was a nerdtacular Dan Favre Ruby.
Well, that's kind of what I was getting at. Like, comedy and... your amazing body don't go together. Like, just ask Ryan Reynolds. Like, he has to keep his clothes on because he takes his clothes off and you're all, huh, there's nothing funny about that.
No. My daughter's so excited about RIPD, and it's only because of him, and that's it. I'm not that excited because I think it looks like it might be real dumb, and I don't want to be disappointed.
Yeah. If that wasn't poop, it would have been out already.
Yeah.
I'm excited. I want to see it.
It doesn't diminish my love of not Ryan Reynolds, the other one, Jeff Bridges. Mm-hmm. But it does make me worry that this is like bad. Okay. Brian, go listen, this is your homework. Brian Dunaway, go see it and you just tell us how it is.
Right. I want to be as contrary as possible this episode.
Please,
so.
Please. You see the thing none of us want to see. You hate the movie we all love. Exactly. It's great.
Now, is that based on a comic book, or is that that's new?
I think it's based
property,
on
right?
Ghostbusters had
everything
sex with Men in Black.
Is based well, black. Yeah. Every yeah. movie you ever see for the rest of Ghost, your life is Ghost based Rider. On a comic book.
Yeah. I don't think that one is, though. I could be wrong.
Go see Pacific Rim. It's the last film that you'll ever see that is not based on a comic book.
I wish it was.
Am I the only person here who's seen Pacific Rim?
No, I saw it. I did a spoiler cast with Justin Robert Young, and I really? We were both disappointed. I didn't love it.
Oh, you were disappointed? Yeah. I was
so
disappointed
wrong.
That it fell out of the market so fast.
You're
I mean,
so
it,
wrong.
It's not that great.
What do you mean so fast? It just opened, Brian.
Like, well, I know. That's what I'm saying. Like, but second is, it, but it's already gotten knocked out of the top spot.
No, it wasn't even top. It took third opening weekend, which is not good.
Brian Dunaway, you will love Pacific Rim. Go see
He'll
it.
He'll probably like it. There's stuff. Listen, don't get me wrong. There's stuff to like.
I'm waiting for Pacific Rim 3.
Those characters right. are terrible. Well, characters are awful. It's they're.
They're
I don't
supposed
care,
to be.
I don't care about any of those people in that movie.
You're not supposed to.
They're like characters from. You know what they reminded me of? They're like characters from. It's, here
Battleship.
I go forgetting. No, Starship Troopers. That's what they remind me of.
Yeah.
Just empty, dumb, don't care people, and the fighting is awesome. And that
really
little
hot,
that
like
little girl was
Richard?
Great. No, not really. Nobody's really hot. They're just there's bad Americans doing bad Australian accents. Oi, look at the giant lizard we have to fight. Now here's a knife. Whee! It's not
okay.
good. It's not good.
Just
it's not good. It's not good.
It's gonna be hard to figure out who you want to send your hate mail to this week.
Oh, it's fun.
So, Pacific Rim is so much fun.
It's fun. It's just it's like I said in the show this morning. I said it's a cake full of horse poo or ostrich poo, but the frosting's really good
it's
on
some
it.
Nice frosting.
Yeah.
Pacific Rim is a movie that is completely ignorant of physics
and
completely
and story and character development. You forgot to add that part on at the end.
Can we talk about what's coming up? On
yep. The Sum of All Fears. You want to explain that one? What's that? What is this? Is Bruce Willis thing?
Ben Affleck, right?
Ben Affleck, Morgan Freeman, Clancy book adaptation. Check this. But let me just name some movies for you, okay? I'm going to name some movies. This is what we've got on the list. Some of what we're thinking about watching. This is not set in stone. On film set coming up. The Sum of All Fears, Hellboy, Rollerball, Footloose, Jumanji, Mission Impossible, Tomb Raider, Escape from LA, The Dead Zone, freaking Bad Boys, Daylight, 48 Hours, Triple X. Our list of films makes me so happy, I want to dance.
I've seen most of these, and I can't wait to see them again.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. The only one I'm not sure about is, I think Hellboy is too new for us, so I'm going to argue against that one, but the rest of that list sounds awesome to me.
Hellboy 2 is better.
Both Hellboys are better than Pacific Rim, so go see those instead, or in before or after. Just so you know, Del Toro can actually make an entertaining popcorn movie and not just giant robot dumb characters. All right, moving on. I'm trying to rile Randy up. It's not working. So that's what's coming up next, The Sum of All Fears. Get your Jack Ryan on with the wrong actor. That's what I like to call that movie. No Harrison Ford in that business, so that'll be fun. That's it. In the meantime, please support us by going to the website, filmsack.com. You can find all our archives, comment, hang out, check out the forums, all that stuff right there. You can email us, filmsack@gmail.com. On Twitter, we're @filmsack. Leave us a review on iTunes because we'd really like that. That's going to do it for us. We'll see you next week for a whole new episode. And until then, from me, from Brian, and from Randy.
From Randy. All right. That's
we'll see you next time.
Fimple.
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 Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.